What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Mike LaPlante and Mike Bonney. What's up, dudes?
Hey. Hey, I'm feeling great. That was probably your best intro ever, so don't screw it up from here on out.
I mean, I'm totally not shocked at all. did you guys get a chance to watch the Thursday Night Football game last night?
Indeed.
Yeah, and I was very sad to see Justin Herbert got hit pretty bad, and it came back with some broken, not broken ribs, but bruised ribs.
Fractured rib cartilage. Fractured.
That's what it was. It wasn't broken ribs. It was rib cartilage.
Yes. Bad news, but he still should be good. He still should be good for next week, which is, I guess.
He's just not going to practice.
Yeah, he looked like he was in some pain, man. But that throw that he had down the seam on fourth down after the play before that, when he started running and just threw it away, was an absolute laser. Man, I was like, that was just absolutely incredible.
I know. I watched that throw after he was kind of hobbling back in, and he actually hobbled up after throwing it because he got drilled again.
Yeah.
God, it was on a rope. Perfect. Two guys on him. It was the only where he could catch it.
Yeah, for real. The Chiefs ended up winning 27-24 if you weren't able to check the game out last night. But it was a pretty good one. Didn't quite live up to the shootout potential that we thought it was going to have.
No, and that's usually how these primetime games go. We always, even with these good matchups, you know, offense all around, it's just how it goes in primetime. You really don't get these high-scoring games anymore. Like, the one game, what was it, like 3 years ago with the Rams and Niners that ended up being, like, 56 to, like, 52?
Yeah.
That's never going to happen again. I don't think that was an anomaly of a game, and everyone kind of wants that and, you know, kind of projects that to happen. It's not going to.
Sure, especially after a short week and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we jump in and what we're doing today, we're doing our week two game previews. Please like and subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. We appreciate it. Then head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our memberships. Guys, we got a DFS tool. We got award-winning rankings over there. We got the Discord. The Discord's the best thing, guys. You just come in, ask any question you want, and you have 20 Fantasy Six-Pack analysts there just to answer any question you need. It's honestly fantastic.
And in my opinion, we all have award-winning humor, so that's the best part.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. And then, as always, this show is sponsored by the American Raz Facebook group. Go out, check it out. Some sports memorabilia stuff over there. The link's scrolling across the bottom, and it is in the description. And then what do you guys say? You just ready to jump into game previews?
I'm down.
If you say so.
Let's do it. First game we got here is the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. I'm pretty intrigued by this game, actually, guys, right away. Curious to see what Tua does against this defense. But I want to ask you about Chase Edmonds. After he had a decent week in PPR formats last week, I think around 10 points. Is he going to end up being a set it and forget it? Is he going to end up being a set it and forget it RB2? Or is Raheem Mostert eat into his work? What are you thinking?
Set and forget it's probably a little bit too much. I'd say he's more borderline. If you can put him in your flex, it's probably better. He gets the target share, obviously, because he's the receiving back, but it's definitely worth mentioning that he didn't get any goal line or red zone touches. And you could probably expect that throughout the season. He never was a red zone type of guy, so you got hope on the catches. He wasn't really efficient on the ground either, so you can expect maybe 30, 40 yards a game on the ground.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, you're going to besmirch Alec Ingold's 2 targets? Come on.
No, I was going to say,
he'll get to, yeah.
Like the last few years, it seems like behind that offensive line, there's not a running back in Miami who could be efficient, to be honest with you.
Right, yeah.
And then stay with the Dolphins. I want to talk to you about this really fast receiving core they got. Are you nervous in this matchup for Waddle and Hill against, you know, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, that secondary.
Marcus Peters can get burned. He's not as fast as we all think. And honestly, Marlon Humphrey isn't even that fast either. So they're beatable.
Humphrey's pretty nasty though, man.
Yeah, probably impress, I would assume. But they're going to get different ways to get them around with the ball. They get targeted enough. They both had 20-plus targets. I think Waddle had 17, actually. But still, that's fine. And I think they're good enough. You shouldn't have to worry.
LaPlante, anything to add?
I mean, Ike's just carefree. He's never worrying.
Just wait till you get to Tom Brady, man.
But, Mike, now let's jump over to the Ravens. What are we doing with the backfield this week? Maybe J.K. Dobbins plays. It's trending in the right direction.
Looking like he is going to play, first and foremost. It's not like he is listed as questionable, but, I mean, everything on Twitter is saying that he's going to play. He practiced, and that was the big thing because you got to practice on Fridays if you're going to play on Sunday.
Did you guys – sorry to interrupt you. Did you guys know that he tore his hamstring when he tore his ACL too?
Oh, it was a brutal injury.
Who? Yeah, J.K. Dobbins. He also tore his hamstring when he tore his ACL, so it was even worse than anticipated. But Mike, go on.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, monitor it this week. You know, last week there was a total of 15 rushing attempts from the running backs and, all together. I mean, this is supposed to be a run-first offense. I mean, I know they were, in it, for the most of the game, but then they pulled away at the end, and you figured they would have been running the ball a little bit more. But they really didn't. That's true. But, Kenyon Drake had the most, rushing attempts out of, those 15 with 11. But, when Dobbins comes back into this offense, I really do think he's going to get, that 11 and push Kenyon Drake to the 4 that was carried by Mike Davis. I mean, it's one of these ones where you got to monitor it this week. I don't know if you can throw him just right in the lineup, trust him right away. But if he shows good signs, positive signs, I'm putting him in the lineup next week.
Yeah, it was interesting last week seeing the Ravens backfield as a whole and even Lamar not be efficient on the ground. That's not something we see very often with this offense, but that was definitely the case last week. Yeah, for sure. And then Mike, are you concerned over the lack of passing volume for the Ravens wideouts?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah, this is my main concern in the fucking offseason for the whole Ravens wide receiving core outside of Bateman. I mean, we knew Mark Andrews would get his, and we knew Bateman was supposed to get his. We were all projecting it. It hadn't happened yet. But
he was saved by a bomb touchdown in the second half, or his week was looking very bad, man.
Yeah.
As well.
This is true, and it could have been Sauce, man. I know you don't like it, but it could have been Sauce just
it's
wrapped up on.
No, it's Sauce now, man. He allowed
one catch, and I don't believe it was the touchdown that he allowed.
No, it was for 8 yards.
Mike, let me throw this at you real quick. I know Devin Duvernay was kind of a waiver wire darling a little bit to an extent this week, but I'm pretty sure I looked into it. I think he only ran like 16 routes or something, but he caught 2 touchdowns. Like, I don't think his snap share was very high. Are you buying into Duvernay being the deep threat in this offense, or are you just kind of thinking he's very going to be boomer bust?
Oh, it's boomer bust, big time. I mean, he's not going to be consistent contributing fantasy value week in and week out. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Devin Duvernay's snap share, he was on 29 snaps, which is only 51.8 of the entire. Okay. Yeah, which is, I mean –
Does it give you routes run? Does it give you routes run or no? I think it might have been 29 snaps played in like 16 routes run or something.
It's not telling me. It's just telling me snap share.
Yep. No biggie. But Ike, you got anything to add with this Ravens wideouts?
Honestly, I wouldn't even feel safe playing Rashad Bateman right now.
He's probably the only one you're rocky on it, but you gotta play him. I mean, you're playing.
Was it 3 targets you had? That was a total guess, by the way. But
I think it was 4.
Okay,
4 or 6, or he caught 4 passes. Yeah, I'm not.
We don't know. Targets.
Okay.
5 targets.
Okay. But yeah, I think we're gonna go ahead and jump into the next game we got here: the New York Jets at the Cleveland Browns. Ike, I'm gonna start with you. Michael Carter, the heartbeat of this offense, had a great week 1, and both these running backs saw a lot of work in the passing games. But who do you want this week and moving forward, Michael Carter or Breece Hall?
Right now, You got to go with the heartbeat of the offense, Michael Carter. I mean, I was doing it. He out-snapped him. Breece Hall targeted him, but it was by one. Out-rushed him, had a higher opportunity share. I mean, Michael Carter seems to be getting all the work. Breece Hall is getting, like, the secondary work. I'm assuming it'll change around bye week because that's usually when the rookie running backs start taking over. So yeah, now, Michael Carter.
Yeah, what if Michael Carter just ends up being better than Breece Hall? I mean, it's totally
impossible. I don't know about that. Breece Hall had like the highest running backs or running back score from NFL.com in a while. It's I don't know. He's got the talent.
Carter.
It's also worth mentioning he fumbled. Breece Hall did.
Carter.
I'm pretty sure it was the last one to have as high as an NFL score that Ike's talking about was Saquon Barkley coming out of the draft.
Interesting.
Dude, he's fast, but who knows?
And then, like, jumping over to the wide receivers with the Jets. I know Corey Davis was a surprise guy last week. I know he led this team in receiving. Who's the guy you want in your lineups this week if you have to choose one? Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios. Tyler Conklin in this.
You have to throw Garrett Wilson, actually, in there.
Garrett Wilson, sorry.
You don't have to do anything.
He saw the most red zone targets out of the receivers, actually. 3-1. But other than that, the only one you can maybe say is the safest is Elijah Moore. He's on the field the most. He ran the most routes out of the team significantly. Significant snap share over him, too, as well. Mm-hmm. Corey Davis got lucky and was just targeted, so I wouldn't feel safe starting him.
But you think those are – sorry, Mike. You think those are phony targets towards Corey Davis? Or what if it's Flacco and him just got chemistry, man?
They did last year. Mm-hmm. But I just think it – because I think when Flacco played last year, Elijah Moore wasn't around. He was injured. So they just need to build up that connection a little bit more.
Yeah, I got you. Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's kind of funny. Garrett Wilson having 3 red zone targets was as much as Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, and Braxton Berrios all together.
Weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Very nice.
He also saw 8 targets as well, I believe.
It seems like they were just shitty targets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, coming from smoking Joe Flacco. But Mike, jumping over to the shitty Cleveland Browns, can Kareem Hunt sustain this pace that he busted out this past week, or at least be an RB2 moving forward and this week?
That's a good question, Dylan. It's interesting because Kareem Hunt got majority of the work in the red zone here, you know, his 4 carries compared to Chubb's 2 and, you know, targets in general. Kareem Hunt was 4-1 for Chubb, but Chubb took the advantage, obviously, in the overall rushing work, 22-11. So, I mean, it was very odd. It was like the original scavenger where Kareem Hunt came in and just took all the work, all the, you know, valuable touches away from Nick Chubb after he, you know, did all the work. I don't know if Kareem Hunt can sustain that type of production without getting an uptick in his volume. And he's not going to be able to score every week. So this is kind of like one of those, maybe. But he has to get that uptick in volume.
Yeah, got to pump the brakes a little bit, right?
Hasn't this always been what those two have been doing, though? Nick Chubb gets you down there. Kareem Hunt gets the red zone, whether it be a target or catch or whatever, and maybe rush it in. I mean, he's constantly getting the touchdowns. So I feel like you can constantly expect this, and he's done it before, so he's an easy RB2 for the rest of the year, probably.
I think he is, too. I think I agree with you, man.
I mean, last year, I'm looking at the red zone attempts, and I know Kareem Hunt only played 8 games, but Nick Chubb got 41 to Hunt 17.
So he got almost 2 Chubb a game. He get 2 a game.
Typically, it's Hunt Chubb did in the red zone when it comes to rushing attempts, but passing the ball, that's Kareem Hunt's you know, bread and butter.
And then, Mike, let's talk about the wide receiving core for the Browns now. No, we got to. We saw Donovan Peoples-Jones seeing 11 targets. We saw Amari Cooper getting open, just Jacoby Brissett not being able to find him, and I don't think anybody's surprised by that. but I guess, are you buying into DPJ's 11 targets?
I mean, I'm a little bit, but it's one of those ones where I'm monitoring it. It's is it smoke or is it fire type of deal. Because you did say Amari Cooper got open, but I mean, he was covered up for the most part for J.C. Horn that day. So, I mean, I don't expect DPJ to get 11 targets each game. I'm sure they're going to get Amari Cooper, probably David Njoku, more involved in this game.
Yeah, too.
But, I mean, if we can get 5 to 8 targets a game, which is, I think, totally possible.
From the slot, for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, just it's one of those ones where you don't want to overreact. You know, you're not blowing your whole load on DPJ. Like, you know, play your safe plays over him. If, you know, you got a, you know, a Chris Godwin that was ruled out, you can slide DPJ in there maybe if you don't have any other better options.
Does he need to be rostered in 12-team leagues, you think?
I think so, yes, because, I mean, we saw it. I mean, even when Carolina played Cleveland, they were still able to score. The Cleveland's defense is all right. It's not great, though. They're not going to be shutting anybody out, so there's offense to be had here. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to pass the ball. It's just a matter of, you know, how spread out is it going to be? Are they going to be facing a J.C. Horn, you know, a Jair? Well, I don't know if I can mention Jair after the last week. But, you know, one of those lockdown corners that's going to lock down Amari Cooper. Then DPJ is going to be a lock-in flex each week then for that point.
Yeah, I could.
I don't really think J.C. Horn's a lockdown corner.
He well, I'm, when he's been
you know what
field,
I'm talking
like,
about.
He has
I think it's more Jacoby Brissett doesn't push the ball downfield, and that's literally what Amari Cooper is doing.
Yeah, but that
he's,
yeah,
that's the only routes he's running. So
that's
if whoever's in the slot or tight end is going to be the beneficiary, and that's Peoples Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Just don't overreact.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be saying sorry.
I'll tell you what, though. I am nervous about Amari Cooper moving forward. And I don't know when you're going to feel comfortable putting him
Watch
in your
back.
Lineup.
That's why.
Yeah. And we still got 10 more games with Jacoby Brissett quarterback. But, yeah, let's jump over to the next one. The Washington Commanders at the Detroit Lions. Like, starting with you again. Carson Wentz.
Did you say yes to this game?
Yeah, because I can't believe people are thinking Carson's going to get a possible quarterback.
Yes, man. Carson Wentz blew the shit up last week. I could have come back victory over the Jaguars. Does he do it again in this so great? Okay. Why?
For one, he still threw 2 picks. And he had to throw 4 touchdowns to get there. And he hasn't thrown 4 touchdowns in a game since 17, week 14 of 2017. If you think he'll throw that again, kudos to you. And you can start him. I'm not.
Wow. Right on.
I got to ask this.
Hate, though. I like it.
Ike, are you playing Carson Wentz or Tom Brady this week against the Saints?
Tom Brady, 100%.
Tom Brady, who averages 13.2 points a game against the Saints in his 4 regular
just season. Wait till we get there, okay? I got some shit for you.
Okay. I just pulled that stat out of my ass for you, but it wasn't good enough for you to rebuttal, huh?
We're not in the Buccaneers.
Well, we got a live question, but let's hold that. Let's finish with the Commanders. Carson Wentz, I kind of like Carson Wentz this week because of the weapons he has around him. You know, he's got Terry McLaurin, who caught a bomb touchdown last week, I believe. Curtis Samuel getting all these touches in the backfield and seeing like 11 targets or something wild. And Jahan Dotson catching 2 touchdowns. What can you expect from these pass catchers this week?
First off, you can expect Dotson to not catch 2 touchdowns again.
Fact.
I would probably not start him either, unless you're in a deep league.
Facts.
Can I have the next winning lottery tickets? Because it seems like you know the future.
You really think Dotson's going to catch 2 touchdowns?
I just love the utmost confidence you have.
I like it. He's got some swagger tonight. I'm digging it.
The only one that you should be – I mean, I guess you can throw Curtis Samuel in the flex, but you can – don't be surprised if you're disappointed. I mean, it's not like he's a star. You're only starring Terry McLaurin, really. And like I said, Carson Wentz is going to repeat, so just expect not greatness.
And Derek Brown on the Fantasy Pros podcast was talking. He called Curtis Samuel Dollar Store Debo.
Yeah, it's possible. I'd like to see more, though.
No, that's pretty good. I think, man, that's the perfect nickname for the guy I got in a future game we got here, and I'm going to put it down there. That's awesome. I love it. Dollar Store Debo.
Yeah, it made me laugh, too. But we got it. Yeah, like I said, we got a question here from Marcos. Half-point PPR his flex position, Michael Thomas, Daryl Henderson, AJ Dillon, or Mark Ingram if Kamara is out. Last I heard, I thought Kamara was trending towards playing. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
I don't think he's playing, right?
I
mean, I haven't gotten the official ruling out yet, but he's questionable. He was at a limited practice Friday, which is better than not practicing at all. But he's officially listed as questionable. No. So it's once you're going to have to monitor it. But I mean, either way, they're against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
With it being half PPR, I think you guys know where I'm going to lean. I'm going to lean AJ Dillon here against the Bears. Their run defense isn't good. We saw AJ Dillon find the end zone last week. We saw AJ Dillon lead this team in targets last week as well. I'm going AJ Dillon. Stop saying things won't happen. Let's see.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think?
And you're going to be a little shocked with me in this one because I don't think Cam Akers is going to be a thing again this year. And I like Daryl Henderson with the Atlanta Falcons.
I like that we helped Marcos in no way, shape, or form. All three of us.
I mean, we gave him all different opinions because he is his own guy. He can formulate his own opinion off our help.
That's true.
But I mean, they have a prime matchup against the Falcons here. I mean, their defense is not good against the run. I mean, Daryl Henderson got 18 total touches compared to Cam Akers 3. This is a get right game for the Rams. They want to shove it down the Falcons' throat after that embarrassing loss on Thursday. So I'm going Daryl Henderson in this case.
Yeah, I get that side of it too, man. We got another one here from the Joker. David Montgomery, Rashad Penny, Chase Claypool for the flex in a 16-team league.
Go on, David.
I mean, yeah, you can't. Don't overthink this one. I know it was a rough week for him, week one with Montgomery. I mean, I got, you know, countless different references for what happened in that game. But, I mean, they were playing on the Pacific Ocean. It was terrible. So you got to throw last week's game out with Montgomery. He's, you know, don't overthink it. The past couple games against the Packers, if I remember this correctly, he has 5 touchdowns in the past 3 games against the Packers.
Averaging 22 fantasy points too as well. So
just like Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, Montgomery seems to own the Packers run defense.
I like it, guys. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I go Montgomery there as well. So that one was a clean sweep. Next one here. What do you think of trading away CeeDee Lamb and Josh Jacobs for Michael Pittman? Jacobs is on my bench. I've got CMC plus Jones, Amon-Ra, St. Brown at the flex.
Smash it.
If you get the Pittman owner to do that, man, I say go ahead and jump on that deal.
Yeah. Pittman's going to get peppered with targets.
I mean,
and they're going to be decent targets instead of some from Cooper Rush.
If Jacobs was your RB2, I'd be telling you to stay put here because, I mean, you're just kind of selling CD for, you know, pennies on the dollar at that point. But with the depth you have, great drafting, by the way. I think you can't get away with this trade, giving up CD and Jacobs for Pittman, and you dominate that wide receiver spot, you know, and just pray to the fantasy god CMC stays healthy.
Yep.
Yes, sir. And that, okay, jumping back into our game preview, we're talking Washington Commanders at the Detroit Lions. Mike, we're on to the Lions. DeAndre Swift owner, Ike, I know you're one of them. No, you're not.
Yes.
Actually.
No. Last year,
Swift in a few leagues.
Okay. But Mike, are you worrying about the red zone touches Jamal Williams saw last week after vulturing 2 touchdowns?
Two.
Normally, I would say yes, but with this amount of workload that Swift got, I mean, he can make his hay at that. I mean, he got pretty much all the receipt work. I mean, he got pretty much all the rushing work. It's just he was tired, it seemed like. Or
he had some big plays too as well.
Exactly. So, I mean, he won't get as many touchdowns as we expected if this continues with Jamal Williams, which is going to suck and cut down his ceiling, you know, and he's not going to be that top 5, you know, RB everyone was projecting him to be. But, yeah, he's going to have enough volume to be a solid late RB1, early RB2 if he can't score.
I was saying RB1 for sure. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, you know, I've said it a couple times, or at least one time, Like last year, even when he didn't play a full season, he was still fourth in the league in running back receptions. Like they are going to use him in the passing game, and he might lead the league in running back receptions this year if he can stay healthy.
Yes. Yeah.
Which we love in PPR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jumping over to the wide receivers now, man. Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like he could be maybe the steal of draft season, Mike. That Adam Stark from Fantasy Six Pack posted something interesting on Twitter today. He said, Amon-Ra St. Brown can make history this Sunday. No wide receiver has caught 8+ passes and scored a touchdown in 6 straight games. Amon-Ra St. Brown can be the first to do that. That's a pretty cool stat there, man.
That's a pretty good accomplishment on a shitty Detroit team.
Yeah, Mike, but I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's a set it and forget it type wide receiver too now. Do you agree with me?
I'm with you on that, and granted, this is week one. Don't overreact, but here's a good stat that backs it up. Did you know he has 69 targets in the past 6 games? I mean, this is the one game from week one, nice. And then the past 5 from last year. Sweet. I know, very lucky number. But only Cooper Kupp and Devontae Adams have more targets than him in that 6-game stretch. Those are elite numbers, at least target-wise. Now, granted, they might not always be the greatest targets, but that's enough volume to sustain easy wide receiver 2 numbers.
I 100% agree, my dog. Ben's got another question. Just real quick, LaPlante, I'm putting you in the spot. Thoughts on Hopkins when he comes back? Just give me 15 seconds on him.
Man, with how inept that offense looked, I think they're going to try to incorporate Hopkins in as much as they can when he gets in. And I love it because he's not injured. He's just suspended. He's unless he fucks up in it while he's, you know, waiting around and being suspended. He's going to be a start at flex wide receiver 3 for me easily. And he's on one of my teams.
Just as long as he doesn't get popped with a low-grade beaver tranquilizer or something, man, in his system.
Damn it, Bernice.
God damn it, Bernice. Shit. Next game we got here, Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ike, can we see a QB 1 week from Matt Ryan this week?
Yes. Yes, you can.
My man.
So for Matt Ryan, but not Carson Wentz. But
seriously.
Yell at him.
No, it's fine. Whatever. He's quarterback 4. I have him quarterback 14 right now, and he easily can go in the top 12. Like we said, Tom Brady has a tough matchup, but I'll get into that later. He's got Michael Pittman. He's got Michael Pittman. That's about it, though. But it helps having Jonathan Taylor take pressure off and people constantly in the box. So, once again, he loves to throw. I wouldn't worry about it.
I appreciate you agreeing with me. Like I wrote about Matt Ryan as my quarterback.
I saw that.
My start column in my start sit article over at Fantasy Six Pack.
I should have just said go see your article because that's what I looked at earlier, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I really like him this week. And then – can you stream any other playmaker in this offense besides Michael Pittman? It's kind of a crapshoot, man, if you ask me.
Hines, maybe if you're in a deeper league. He saw a decent amount of targets. I'm pretty sure 6. Actually, yeah, 6. The name to look out for, though, is Kyle Granson. He saw 7 targets, which was 5 more than Mo Alie-Cox. Apparently, they want to use him more. So if you're struggling at tight end, you can think about him.
Yeah, the targets that he got, you like to see that. For sure.
But I wouldn't be starting anybody other than Pittman and Taylor in this offense.
Mm-hmm. I'm jumping over to the Jaguars.
Except Matt Ryan this week.
He said playmakers. You know what?
I know. I just being a smart ass.
Mike, Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm just going to let you have the reins here. The backfield, I'm probably not going to like what you got to say, but I'm letting you have it anyways. Go ahead.
I mean, I'll be better than what Urban Meyer did. But, yeah, I'm a little scared for ETN owners here. I mean, obviously, I told you all offseason, you know, I mean, just monitor James Robinson. I mean, we saw what Cam Akers was. It's not always a guarantee to come back from an Achilles injury and actually look decent. But that's what James Robinson did. He had 11 carries to ETN's 4. Now, granted, ETN looked really good with those 4 carries, averaging 11.8, you know, a tote. But He also received four targets, but man, when I know you watched it, we all watched it. Those four targets, man, two of those targets were just god awful. He batted one down like he was a third baseman.
Spiked it like a volleyball.
It didn't look that great, and that's kind of what we attributed to the reason why James Robinson was used a little bit more in the second half there. It's because that's what Peterson does. I mean, he wants to win. He wants to get, you know, this team in a winning culture, and he's going to play who's, you know, the hot hand, essentially, in this case. We just got to hope ETN, man, he's got to be a hotter hand.
Yeah, it just kind of looked unnatural, him trying to catch the ball, which is a little concerning, but I'm not freaking out yet, man. I'm still all right as the ETN truther of this podcast. He'll be fine. And he did play 51% of the snaps to James Robinson's 49. So small victories. Now, Mike, let's talk about the wide receivers here.
Again, do we need to? No, I'm just kidding.
Mr. Jones and me. Which Jones do you want out of this wide receiver core? Marvin Jones or Zay Jones? Because I know Zay Jones saw a decent amount of targets. Nice. And Herms did talk about him on the Waiver Wire podcast that he was interested in rostering him this week. So I'm curious, what are you thinking here?
Is Mike Jones an option?
He's not. Nope.
I loved Marvin Jones going into this year as a late round target. I mean, I talked about it, you guys knew that, but it looked like at least after week one, Zay Jones is the Jones you want in this offense. I mean, he received, you know, obviously more targets, 9 to Marvin 6. You know, again, week one, but I mean, 9 targets a game if he can average that, which is totally possible, is 153. Through a full season, and to get Zay Jones off the waiver wire and potentially, you know, have a ceiling of 153 targets in a year, that's an absolute steal. I mean, he's at least probably going to get 100 targets
at this pace. Yeah, he very well could be. I'm curious to see if he could keep close to this up. Like, what are you thinking here? 15
seconds. I still have a feeling Marvin Jones is going to end up still getting.
I think more they'll kind of switch back and forth, but Zay Jones is clearly, I mean, he's got more pep in the step.
You look good, yeah.
And sure. Then Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones is going to, I feel like Marvin Jones, he's very good at finding the soft spot in the zone. And he's going to be Trevor Lawrence's kind of safety pin on safety guy on third down, you know.
The red zone possibly as well.
The red zone, yeah. But he's not going to get the majority of the volume.
Like, he still saw 6.
Which is good. Yeah,
it feels
good,
like 4,
but it's not 9.
4 to 9, I'd be a little worried. But 6 to 9, it's not like it's like, whoa.
Yeah. I know, it's not great. But the question was, which Jones do you want? So I answered it with Zay.
That's fair enough, man. Jumping over to the next game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Ike, you teased it a little bit. Do we sit Tom Brady this week?
No, you don't.
I disagree. Once again, go read.
You don't. You don't. I've learned to not bet against Tom Brady, and you probably didn't look this up though. But he's only laid a after laying a dud. He's only laid a dud again twice with Tampa Bay, and after laying dud, he's been averaging 21.7 fantasy points. So you don't have to worry about it. He's gonna come back with a revenge. So, deal with it.
Has he ever played the Saints after a dud?
No. He did play Green Bay, though, after playing Chicago, like, in 2020, and he put up 14-14.
I will give you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He's played the Saints 4 times in the regular season, and he's put up under 6 fantasy points in 2 of the games, but the other 2 games weren't atrocious. And like Mike said, he averaged 13 fantasy points per game between those two, but they were kind of
four games against the Saints.
Mm-hmm. So it's like he's either in the 20s or he's terrible. I don't like it. I don't like the matchup. Mike, let's say you 10 seconds on it.
Yep. I mean, my one thing is, I mean, do the Saints just have Brady's number? He's down Chris Godwin this week. There's injury designations all over that wide receiving room.
He's got Julio.
He does have Julio, also injured.
And he did practice fully today.
He did practice. I'm just saying again, injured. You know, everybody on this wide receiving core has an injury designation, which is just a little weird if you ask me. And the one thing I will just add, last second, Mike Evans, again, not good against Marshawn Lattimore. 2 point, let me find it here real quick. I have it. Mike Evans, when Tom Brady's been there for the four games against Marshawn Lattimore, he's averaged 7.2 points a game. That's a half point PPR, and it's not very good.
Yeah. Good segue into
You don't need Mike Evans, though, to do good.
I was going to say, with Mike Evans, probably going to struggle with Marshawn Lattimore locked on him. What do you think about Julio this week, Ike?
Start him in every team I have. He looked good with him last week.
Dylan, what was your question in the AMA for Joe? Was it Julio and CeeDee Lamb? Who would you take, Mike? Ike.
Honestly,
it's so hard. You're going to say Julio, but I don't think there's
any way. No, you still got to go CeeDee Lamb.
I was going to say, you don't have the fucking nuts to be able to do that.
You still have to, because he should still get targeted a lot.
Because that
would be good. I don't know.
I was gonna say, if you sit CD and he catches a touchdown, you know, and like
you're gonna look like an idiot,
and you're gonna be punching yourself in your little nuts after that, you know, it's
punching the air, bro. damn it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree, but yeah, we do got a quick question here from Evan. Chase Edmonds and Tony for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
I think you smash it. Not knowing the rest of your roster, Evan, but I think you smash it.
Yeah, Amon-Ra's going to be, like we said, a solid wide receiver two all year. Chase Edmonds, I mean, I like him for the volume, but he's still part of basically a committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Jumping over to the Saints now, Mike. I guess, so apparently I wasn't aware that Kamara is trending towards not playing this weekend. But so I'm assuming you are worried about him this weekend after week one?
Absolutely. Yes, I am. Like we mentioned earlier, battling a rib injury all week, you know, hasn't practiced yet. I wrote this before I got the update. He practiced in a limited fashion today. List is questionable. I mean, they're playing the Buccaneers, a team that averaged the third best. They were the third best at stopping the run last year, and they didn't lose anybody. This was the troubling part. He was only targeted four times. I mean, I know, you know, it's not a lot. That's only 11.7 target share, which isn't used to his normal 20% target share. But the fucked up thing here, guys, and I know you're going to laugh, is that he even had less of a target share than Juwan Johnson.
And they were down most of the game, man. That's why it didn't bode super well for him, to be honest.
Juwan Johnson had more targets than Alvin Kamara. I don't know if that's just a one-week thing. Hopefully not, because, I mean, they barely won as it is. They're going to need to use their best players to win. I mean, so I'm not super worried season-long just yet, but this week I'm just worried overall because it's a tough matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I 100% agree, man. You don't normally play running backs against the Bucs, man. They just shut them down. But staying with the Saints, Mike, which wideout scores the most points this week after, you know, Michael Thomas, the ghost of Michael Thomas, catching two touchdowns in the second half? Jarvis Landry seeing a whole ton of volume, which was great to see him, totally unexpected. Me personally, I thought Landry was a little washed. Come to find out, he's really only 29 years old. He feels like he's been in the league.
Yeah, according to you, there's just ghosts on this offense.
Michael Thomas did look like a ghost in the first half, man. Not catching a ball.
I mean, he did ghost us. He did ghost us in the first half.
Well, what do you think of it?
Give me Michael Thomas, and I know you probably don't agree with me here because Jarvis Landry got the volume, but let's be honest here. It was one less target than Landry. Yeah. Michael Thomas got 8. Landry got 9. I mean, here's the big thing, and here's the reason why I want Michael Thomas compared to Landry. If the volume is not that much of a discrepancy, Michael Thomas is the only receiver that received the red zone targets for this team. He got 2 of them, caught both of them.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's going to be Landry and Michael Thomas for most of the year until Olave can, you know, get his feet a little bit more wet, get a little bit more experience, you know. But it wouldn't surprise me if both Thomas and Landry both get about 9+ targets a game, because it looks like Dennis Allen wants to kind of convert this into Jameis Winston's offense that we saw in Tampa Bay.
that would be nice from a fantasy perspective for sure.
That's why I think Alvin Kamara didn't get as many targets as we thought, because I mean, when Jameis was in Tampa Bay, and he didn't dump it off to the running back, he just chucked it to the receivers.
We've kind of been talking this the whole time about Kamara from our podcast existence. It's not the same without
dump off Drew.
Yeah, it's just he's not the same player, unfortunately. But we do got another question here from Clap Nuts. Got offered Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jeff Wilson for James Conner, full PPR. Take it or nah? I am an owner of CEH, and I'm digging it right now. You know, 22 fantasy points and 15 fantasy points-ish the last 2 weeks. But I still got buyers beware on him, to be honest with you. I think I'm holding on to James Conner because he's just got more of like a set-in-stone role, I feel like, as he's going to catch passes, he's going to score touchdowns, he's going to get all the red zone work. So I think I still lean James Conner there.
I mean, if you need depth, you're getting good depth here because you're going to get Jeff Wilson for 8 weeks without Elijah Mitchell, and we love running backs in the Kyle Shanahan system.
Jeffy doesn't get me excited, though.
Just let me finish. You don't even got my answer yet.
I'm
analyzing here. And I am a little afraid of Clyde Edwards-Helaire usage moving forward with Isaiah Pacheco because, I mean, he's making me eat my words a little bit. He does look good. I just don't know if they're going to use him as the full guy. And Clyde is going to be the main guy. And they might go into more of a 50-50 type of timeshare. My only concern is James Conner's health because we know he does not finish a full season. So if you're looking for depth, I think it's a good trade for depth, but you clearly have the best player in the trade. And I think in a bubble, I stay James Conner.
Yeah. Yep. We agree. But I will say this. Clyde looks pretty good. He looks healthy. He looks quick. He looks shifty. I'm so far so good. Also, guys, Cubs fan here, but Albert Pujols just hit number 698.
Nice.
Ooh, two away.
Getting close, yep. Getting close. Jumping over to the next game, the Carolina Panthers at the New York Giants. Every week, man, I feel we get disappointed from DJ Moore, and it's only been 1 week.
I'm out on him.
Can we expect DJ Moore to bounce back against this bad Giants secondary?
Honestly, I've been the biggest DJ Moore fan, and I'm almost saying sit him. Because it's
annoying.
It's bad, man. I don't get it. He saw like 6 targets. That's it. Robbie Anderson somehow looked better.
I mean, he sees those 6 targets all, you know, for the past 4 years, he's seen those 6 targets again.
No. Last year, he easily saw 8 to 10, but C-Mac's back, which has taken some. Apparently, they like Ian or Tommy Tremble too as well. So he's fallen down my rankings quite a lot.
You digging Robbie Anderson with him catching that deep ball last week from Baker, maybe having a little bit of chemistry with him?
It's the only thing he did. Take away that touchdown. He was what he was last year, 4 for 27 yards. So you got to hope for touchdowns if you want to start him. I wouldn't be starting him, but you can pick him up. Hope for the best.
Sure.
I think he does deserve to be rostered in 12-team leagues, though.
Just hope for the best.
Mike, jumping over to the Giants now. I'm going to let you have the floor, man. Saquon Barkley. He looks like he's back. He's back.
He's back again.
I'm back.
If anything, I'm really hoping Dave is watching this right now.
Not a chance.
I know. Not a chance. He's got better things to do. Like, you know, create, you know, money winning lineups for the Discord members.
Yes.
Man, I could talk about this all day, but I'll keep it real short here because, I mean, this is just how good Saquon was.
This is short?
Nah, shut up. I'm not going to tell you I told you so. I'm just going to tell you how good he was. Finishes the RB1 PPR and half PPR, all right? Led his entire team in targets with 7, 33.3% target share. That was 8th amongst every single fantasy player in week 1. We're talking wide receivers, tight ends, everybody. The only people ahead of him were Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Brandon Cooks. Barkley is back.
This whole podcast, you've been saying don't overreact on week one, and that was quite possibly the biggest overreaction I've ever seen.
Okay, so it's an overreaction, man, because we've seen him do it before in the past. I'm saying don't overreact on players like Donovan Peoples-Jones, who hasn't done this in the past.
It's 1 week,
we've seen Barkley dominate and finish as the RB1.
It's been 2 years since he's done this.
If healthy. He looks healthy.
2 years. Okay, fine. We'll see if he can stay healthy.
Oh my God, you can say that about every player, though. That could be an argument against every player, though. So, yeah, I brush it off. Yeah.
Mike, can we roster any of these wideouts in this offense? The ghost of Kenny Galladay, you know, Kadarius Toney, who plays 7 snaps, Sterling Shepard coming off a torn Achilles. What do you think?
Roster, yes. Start, most certainly not.
Richie James.
Richie James led all wide receivers with 6, catching 5, behind only Barkley. Kadarius Toney is the interesting one here because when he touches the ball, man, he just makes plays. He looks good. They didn't target him one time, but he got 2 rushing attempts, and he looked good each time. He just can't stay healthy. Again, you know, spotted on the injury report with a hamstring injury. You know, Galladay only got 4 targets, Shepard 2. That's not what we're looking for. So it looks like, as of right now, I'm not overreacting, Ike, but as of right now, I mean, unless somebody steps up, Barkley's the leading receiver for this team for the time being.
Yeah, I'm out on all those suckers, man. Totally out. I do love Kadarius Toney's, you know, talent, and when he touches the ball, he's explosive.
He's worth rostering, but you can't start him until he shows.
He can't be worth rostering, man. If he's getting 7 snaps in a game, that's But anyway.
I mean, 10 teamers, you probably can't, but 12 and deeper, yeah, absolutely, he's rosterable.
Next game we got here on the docket, the New York, Dylan. New England Patriots at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's talk the backfield here. Damian Harris versus Ramondre Stevenson. I think we both agree Stevenson's the more talented back, but it's been Harris's job since last year. He gets a lot of the red zone carries. Stevenson didn't do shit last week, but I don't know if you saw Ty Montgomery got thrown on IR, and that's who was getting all the passing down work. What do we think about Stevenson now?
I mean, he still saw less targets than Damian Harris, which is weird. But they've been saying Stevenson's the third down back, so you got to at least trust that a little bit. So that gives me a little bit more hope, but I'm still taking Damian Harris over him. He's getting the most important work, and I don't think that's going to change. He's getting the goal line stuff. He's getting all the third downs. And apparently he's getting targets now too, which you like. So, especially in PPR. So, yeah, I'm taking Damian home for Ramondre.
I'm curious to see what it looks like now with Montgomery being out and if Stevenson's really.
That is interesting. I do want to see that.
If he's not, yeah, for sure. Speaking of pass catching work, disappointing from all the pass catchers in this offense last week. Can we expect a bounce back from any of these guys this week against the Steelers secondary?
We've been saying it all offseason that this how are they going to run this offense without like a legit offensive coordinator? And it looked like they need an offensive coordinator, one that can actually run an offense. I don't want anybody or any pass catcher from this offense. Mac Jones looks bad. The offense looks bad. Plus, he's dealing with a back injury, which is not good for a quarterback. The only one, I guess, worth rostering is probably Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah, Devontae Parker was a big-time disappointment, man. I thought maybe he was going to do something in this offense, and he just comes out and just lays an absolute egg.
Right.
Man. Just gross. Jumping over the Steelers now, Mike. Claypool or Pickens? You know, Pickens got all the hype this offseason, and then, like I said, comes out, doesn't do a damn thing. Claypool, we've seen him catch a couple passes. He actually saw 6 carries last week, which was intriguing.
This was the guy. I mean, this is the dollar store Debo right here. I mean, this is your generic brand Debo Samuel last year, just not as talented or as effective. I mean, if he can get 6
great
rushing
value
attempts
brand from Walmart.
Exactly. Hey. Great value. If he can get 6 rushing attempts and 6 targets a game, that's 12 opportunities. That's for you, Ike. I know you know math's a little troubling. That's just a joke.
Drive by shooting right at you.
Easily Claypool right now. I mean, it could change down the road. I mean, we always see these wide receivers break out in the second half of the season. But I mean, This is kind of something that shocked me when I was looking it up. Claypool led all wide receivers in snaps played with 58, more than Deontay.
That's great to hear, man.
So, I mean, he was out there for 92% of the snaps, which that you love that. And it's probably attributed to the rushing attempts, but that's great value. And as of right now, like I said, Claypool over Pickens, that could change down the road, though.
Yep. And then, man, last week we saw the Muth man get a ton of targets. We're talking Pat Freiermuth. Do you think he should be a top 10 tight end every week?
Goddamn, 10 targets a fucking week. I mean, in week one, if he can do that, I mean, Mitch is helping the Muth man pump up those rookie numbers from last year. If he can do that, he'll be second on the team in targets easily behind Deontay Johnson for the rest of the year, and you can pencil him in as a top 8 tight end easily.
Yep.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. Next game here, we got the Atlanta Falcons at the Los Angeles Rams. Look, Ike, man, we just all ignored the fact that Cordarrelle Patterson is there. I remember going back months. You probably remember me asking you guys this. I'd ask both of you, where are we going to be drafting Cordarrelle Patterson? And I think I said 4th or 5th round. Well, I was wrong. He was being drafted 7th, 8th, 9th round, which looking back at is just silly, man. What do you think about him moving forward and this week?
I like it, man. To think we're scared of rookie Tyler Allgeier doesn't make sense to me now looking back to it. Kind of stupid.
I mean, he wasn't active.
This is true.
So,
but still, I mean, like even taking away 10 carries from him, Corey is still getting 15 plus all the receiving work, you'd think.
Just playing devil's advocate here. I mean, the whole reason why Cordero got the workload he did was because of the injury to Damian Williams going out so early. Mm-hmm. And Damian Williams has been ruled out again for Sunday, which means Tyler Allgeier is probably going to suit up. I'm just saying he might not get 22 rushing attempts.
No, there's no chance.
Exactly. But
he can get 20 touches.
It's possible, especially against the Rams if they're going to be down the whole time.
And you know Atlanta's going to be scratching and clawing to get a victory, man, because they had one slip through the grasp last week. And I feel like, I'm blanking on his name, Arthur Smith isn't going to trust Tyler Allgeier this week. He's going to want to put the ball in the veteran's hands and just roll with Cordarrelle Patterson, I feel like. It's not the easiest matchup against the Rams, obviously, but
the one thing is if they get blown out early, maybe they don't want to use Cordarrelle anymore because, you know, he is a little bit older.
He is going to catch some dinked dumps, though, man. I think
that's that I will give you.
If that happens.
That's what's going to give us value. First game going against Aaron Donald.
That's
right. Well, Ike, let me talk. Supposedly the best pass catcher in this offense, and he is, but I'm angry at him. Kyle Pitts, I'm angry at him even though I knew it was coming. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I knew he was going to struggle last week against the Saints, and I put him in my lineup anyways. No fucks given, and he just sticks it to me. Three at fantasy least, points.
At catches. Least he still saw 21.9 target share. So, I mean, he's the receiving option other than Cordarrelle Patterson, probably. So, I mean,
second on the team in snap share. I mean, only behind Mariota.
I wouldn't worry necessarily, only the fact that, I mean, Mariota's throwing the ball. But like we said last week, Mariota can provide for a fantasy tight end before. So
is Jalen Ramsey going to line up on him?
He might. That's what scares me, man. But Kyle Pitts last week lined up as an inline tight end more than he ever did last season in any game, which worries me a little bit. But if he does that this week and then leaks out as a receiver, then Jalen Ramsey won't be covering him. But with Ramsey kind of playing that star position in that defense, Ramsey might line up on Pitts a lot if he's in the slot and lining up outside. And that's – I know Ramsey got beat up a little bit by Diggs in week one, but I still don't love him against Pitts just because he could just be physical with him.
I think Pitts is just faster like Diggs.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Faster, bigger, stronger.
Yeah. He is bigger. He's 6'6". The guy's a monster. Freaking nature.
But let's go over to the Rams now, Mike. What are we doing with this backfield, and what are we doing with Clam Akers?
I'm dropping him off at a bus with $100 and wishing him good luck. No, I mean, seriously.
$100, not bad.
That's true. I mean, you know what I mean. Seriously, only three touches in week one compared to Henderson's 18. We already talked about it. I mean, you have to sit Akers on the bench until we see it from him. I mean, only if you have another viable option to replace him. You know, example, like maybe you got lucky and got Jeff Wilson. I'm playing him over Cam Akers. You got a Devin Singletary. I'm playing him over Cam Akers. You know, it's you gotta wait and see.
I have him quite low. I wouldn't say quite low, but I have him low in my rankings.
How low would you go?
I believe it, man. And Cam Akers came out this week saying that he was kind of blindsided that he didn't have a full workload.
Oh, baffled.
He's just baffled. And then, man, Allen Robinson. Is this a ghost of Allen Robinson situation, Mike, that I've been talking about?
I got a lot about ghosts, man.
Night about ghosties.
Ghosty.
Man, you must be afraid of spirits and such. I mean, with how much Sean McVay was quoting, talking about him this week, trying, you know, it's almost like, you know, giving the squeaky wheel the grease. It's hard to see him not get involved in this game, especially with against the Atlanta Falcons. It's, like we said, a get-right game for the whole team. I'm sure Matthew Stafford wants, you know, a little payback. I mean, but I'll be honest, this is probably the last week that I can trust Robinson in my lineup on a consistent basis. And if he fails, he's in DJ Moore category with me.
He is lining up against AJ Terrell though. So if he does do bad, I will not be surprised.
Not great. AJ Terrell's turning
it's a tough matchup for him, man.
Yeah, for sure. And Allen Robinson's not someone who really gets separation on his corners anyways, so you're 100% Ike, right?
He can be in DJ Moore territory for you to play.
You're right, he is 100% Ike.
Suck it. Next game here we got Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. Ike, what do you think about the different ways the Seahawks used DK Metcalf last week?
I absolutely totally hate it. I absolutely hate it with a passion. They ruined my favorite wide receiver. It's basically
Remember what are they even shit for trading him in a dynasty league?
What are you doing? He's not shifty enough to get screens in these small little plays. What do you expect him to do? Barrel over people?
Yeah, pretty much.
I saw one play got a screen and ran backwards. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has to run.
He's so used to just running straight.
Yeah, an A dot of 4.28.
Yeah, four. Nightmare. Do you happen to know what that ranked or no?
I would assume that's probably in the 80s. Zero deep targets to the number one deep target in football, maybe. So I don't know. I'm mad.
They pretty much, it's like if, you know, the Lions back when they had Megatron used him as this, you know, let's use him as a little screen slant guy.
He only had 30 air yards, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's just a total shit situation for kind of everyone in this offense, man. They run the fewest amount of plays, too, in the NFL, and they did in week one.
Could have told you that.
Well. It's just the way they like to play. It's like they know they're bad, so they know they're bad, so they want to play the least amount of football as possible.
They want to limit their amount of chances that they fuck up, so you know the other team fucks up.
Exactly. And, you know, like we're shitting on the pass catchers right now. Is Lockett droppable in 10 to 12 team leagues?
He's getting there. 12 team, you probably could.
Yeah, it's sketchy, man. And I can't see where you're ever going to be comfortable starting Tyler Lockett.
Do you lock it like it's hot?
No,
I'm pretty sure he had the same amount of air yards as DK Metcalf too, which I mean, Tyler Lockett's game was going deep too, but that was with Russell Wilson. So
yeah,
I don't like it. That's why I didn't really draft any of them except for DK in some places, which it just pisses me off now about that.
I mean, I like him as my wide receiver 3 in the one league, but anything past that, no.
7 catches for 30 yards. You can miss me at that shit.
But, Mike, jumping over to the 49ers, how many more weeks will Trey Lance be the QB1 for this team?
Ooh.
You got to throw out last week's game. I knew this was coming. I mean, come on. He played in Lake Michigan. Bro. Yeah, he played in Lake Michigan last week. I mean, that's what the Bears field looked like. I mean, Lance is the team starter. We've already known this. It's been, you know, the team's behind Lance. He actually didn't look that bad. I mean, except the fact, again, he's playing, you know, in the rainforest of the Amazon.
Which he never has before.
Exactly. So, I mean, he said he's played in more snow games than he's played in rain games in his college career. I know it's college, but again, it's still weather. And you can't overreact, even though, you know, it's week one. But there's a chance we could see his ceiling this week, potentially against a very bad Seahawks defense.
Yeah, I think he's a good start this week. Like, I'm curious to where you have him ranked. Do you have your rankings up by
Trey Lance? Quarterback, yeah. 16.
I think that's a little low on him a bit.
A little low, yeah.
I have Matt Ryan ahead of him and Tom Brady, obviously. Kirk Cousins.
Let's discuss what we saw from Debo at Ayuk last week. Debo was that wide back again, man, at least in the first half, and then they kind of went away with it after Jalen Johnson forced that fumble on him in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, we love seeing Debo get the 8 rushing attempts and 7 targets. He's back to it just like he was last year. He got a rushing touchdown. I mean, he probably would have got a passing touchdown if they could pass it in that weather. I'm a little concerned with Ayuk here because he only saw 3 targets. But again, this was played in Hurricane Katrina, guys. take it with a grain of salt.
Spear catches, he looked good in.
Yes, he did.
Exactly. He's the deep target from, you know, all the camp reportings and everything. And who's throwing it deep in Hurricane Katrina? I mean, nobody. So, I mean, that's why he only got 3 targets, I presume. And I assume it's going to be bumped up this week against the Seahawks.
Unless they're playing in rain again, which is possible.
Yeah, it is, but it's not going to be a monsoon.
It's in Seattle. You never know.
No, it's in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Off the bay. You never know.
I mean, look at the banner. I
it doesn't rain in San Francisco. Never mind.
They don't even play in San Francisco. They play in Santa Clara.
It don't rain in California.
Can we start a petition to make them the Santa Clara 49ers?
No, because the Bears aren't going to be called the Arlington Heights Bears.
Yeah, sure.
Love it. The next game, Cincinnati Bengals at the Dallas Cowboys. Ike, Joe Burrow last week. Not a good day. Not a good time. Pizza, when you're supposed to French fry, you're going to have a bad time. And Burrow goes in and throws 4 picks. Ike, is he going to do it again?
No. He's not going to throw 4 picks again. I think he'll have a bounce back game. He's got his weapons back, including T. Higgins. So,
my man.
Fire him up, man. Don't worry about it.
Like you just said, it's looking like Higgins is going to play, Ike, but do you think Tyler Boyd still has a role in this offense with Higgins in?
I mean, it's not like Higgins has a small or soft tissue injury that will limit him from snaps. I mean, the concussion could possibly, but I feel like he'll be a full goal if he's completely cleared. He's got a
brain trauma. Yeah, no big deal.
Dude, people come back after one play and they should have been out for a while. But you usually don't see him limited during the game after a concussion.
Like no, right. If he's fully there, he's going to be good to go. You know what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes. Yeah, like, fully practiced there. Fully capable. Fully capable.
He's present. He'll be there.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's pretty much. We don't really need to go a whole lot deeper in the Bengals offense. But now let's talk about this Cowboys offense that's not led by Dak anymore.
For 8 weeks, you know, Jerry's saying 4.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Jerry, Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
Mike, will the Cowboys lean on Zeke and Pollard more with no Dak, if possible?
I mean, that's the obvious answer. That's the smart answer, and it's probably what they should do. But this O-line will predicate how well that works out, and we saw it against the Buccaneers. Granted, good defense, and they looked phenomenal in week 1. But I expect an uptick in rushing attempts for both, you know, Zeke and Pollard, considering they only got 10 for, you know, Zeke and 6 for Pollard. That's not as much as we, you know, even thought they would come in here, you know, getting. We thought probably, you know, 20 total, you know, for each. I mean, together, not each. but they saw the same amount of targets, and that's the interesting thing here, considering how much Pollard was hyped in the offseason for getting the receiving work over Zeke, and being that they were down the whole game, Pollard should have seen more receiving work. So I'm wondering if he might get that, you know, uptick now, or if it was just all a hoax.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do like some gadget plays with Pollard now with them kind of, you know, with them going to be struggling and all that stuff.
Yeah. Unplug your mic real quick. We'll take it from here. All right. So, you know, moving on to the next part of the Cowboys offense here, you know, Dylan so eloquently put it here. Are we tripping about Dalton Schultz and CeeDee Lamb with Dak dead?
I mean, I don't think he's dead. It's just a thumb injury.
He's not dead. Yes, this is true. I mean, but I think we are just tripping a little bit and overreacting a little bit here. Now, my take here, I don't know how you feel, Ike, is I'm a little bit more of a Schultz man, especially now.
That but why Cooper rely Rush, on the tight end?
Exactly. Cooper Rush showed that he targeted him a lot after coming in, you know, for the quarter, that for only a quarter after Prescott's injury. I'm concerned, you know, obviously about the quality of CeeDee Lamb's targets moving forward, but you're starting him because he's a guy who received 26.8% of the target share in week one.
Yep.
I know he only caught two, but it's not going to happen every week.
This is true. And I'm back, guys. I'm sure you missed me.
Way better. Yeah, you sounded like you were fat.
No, but what I like you said. But what I wanted to say about Tony Pollard earlier, I wonder if he's going to get like the gadget plays since their offense is going to be probably pretty bad. They're going to need to run some goofy stuff to try and help the offense get in a rhythm. And I wonder if that could be Tony Pollard's role.
Probably will be, yeah. Or that maybe. Turpin dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Turpin. He shows flashes.
Next game we got here, Houston Texans at the Denver Broncos. Like, disappointing week one from Damian Pierce with Rex Burkhead out touching him. But who do you like out of those two in this matchup?
It's Burkhead.
Really? Okay. The 32-year-old Rex Burkhead saying, is just going
to
lead
he's
this
saying
team
that to spite
in the
you,
backfield
you,
every week. Huh? Yeah.
The Texans had actually a decent
32-year-old
game script
Burkhead, right?
And Damian Pierce did absolutely nothing in a decent game script. He gets no receiving, so why would you trust him right now to even start him?
You're right. You can't trust him. I just think Lovie can't stay doing this with Burkhead. It's going to get gross at some point. He's 32 years old. But his body's going to break. His body's going to break down. I'm going to say it again. He's 32 years old, guys. He's
so is Cordell Patterson.
The Texans aren't going anywhere this year. And for fucking reason, Lovie was playing for a tie last week.
That's only 6 years older than Velus Jones Jr. You shut your mouth.
There is no chance it's Pierce over Burkhead. They're playing the Broncos.
Here's the weird thing about Damian Pierce, all the targets. Yeah, I just want to put my a little input here. Here's the weird thing: Damian Pierce only got 20 snaps. That's the fucked up part, and that's why you gotta bench him until he gets more snaps. But out of those 20 snaps, he got 11 attempts and one target. So he is being used when on the field. It's just we got to see him get on the field more.
Yep.
I'd wait until the rookie or until the bye week.
The rest might be before that because he is 32 years old again, like Dylan is.
How
32 is the new 25.
I wish I knew the days.
Then I don't know where else we go on this offense. I know you're starting Brandon Cooks no matter what. But, Ike, what do you think about Nico Collins and what he did in the first week? Not a whole lot.
No, he had the same amount of targets as Chris Moore, who is, I'm assuming, the slot receiver or some dude. I don't know. So I would keep Nico Collins where he is, which is the waiver wire.
All right.
So see
– he's worth being on the roster, I think.
Not 10, maybe 9, 12. He needs to see at least 5 targets.
If you got an IR spot, I mean, I think you can.
I would take Sterling Shepard over him.
Sterling Shepard got 2 targets.
I don't care. He's still
coming off an Achilles injury.
I don't care. He still scored. Apparently Achilles injury doesn't matter anymore because 2 guys who had an Achilles injury are now back and actually fine.
Who's the second one?
Sterling Shepard and who's the other guy who just got the Achilles
James,
retirement?
James Robinson. Cam Akers.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit here, guys, with them coming back. I hope it is a feel-good story with James Robinson. and hopefully Sterling Shepard's back, but let's see if they can withstand the football workload.
17-week season.
Yes, yes. But, Mike, let's talk the backfield and with the Denver Broncos, man. Javonte Williams just was awesome in PPR formats last week.
Yep, 12 targets, catching 11 of them for 65. I mean, you love 11 catches. That's 11 free points, guys. 65 yards, not very efficient, though. He only saw 7 carries. You know, he did get 43 yards out of those 7 carries, obviously averaging more.
And the idiot fumbled at the goal line.
So did Melvin Gordon, though.
I know. Both idiots. That whole, I should say, their whole team was full of idiots on Monday, man. What were they doing?
Not ready for football.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, McManus isn't really an idiot. He was forced to go in there.
He was probably telling, Coach, I can hit this.
Yeah, Coach, I can hit this. That's exactly, yeah. But no, I mean, you paid that much for Russell Wilson. Goddamn, you got to let him get that 4th and 5. Mm-hmm. But moving on to fantasy here. I mean, like you said, they did all look stupid. But, I mean, it was week one. This is a team that, you know, got a quarterback. We saw, I mean, I don't remember exactly what happened last week in week one. But the Rams weren't, you know, woo! We got the Rams as Super Bowl champs this year after week one. It does take some chemistry to get this to going together. Like I said, the one concern for me is Melvin Gordon getting more of the rushing workload, which is kind of opposite what we thought would happen. Melvin getting the passing work, Javonte getting the rushing work. But I love the fact that Javonte Williams had 38 snaps to Gordon's 27 because it looks like he's the leader in this committee.
Yeah,
for sure. Which we knew, but yeah.
It is good news.
I mean, we didn't know, but now we know. Now we know.
Mike, let's talk about the wideouts now. We saw Jerry Jeudy finally break out a little bit, just torching his defender on that long pass he caught from Russell Wilson, which would have been an easy touchdown if Wilson hit him in stride.
Yeah.
Jeudy had to come back a little bit and then make a move and explode past the guy. But it was great to see Sutton getting a lot of air yards, just didn't really produce a whole lot with them. So
he was all right in PPR.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I mean, Jeudy obviously is the winner of the week since he's the only one who scored the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But both received the same number of targets, 7. Both caught the same amount of catches, 4. Sutton just didn't score. I feel like I'm in a nursery rhyme with Dr. Seuss. So I still like Sutton a little bit more moving forward because of those air yards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it looks like both of these wide receivers are startable again. We kind of assumed.
I'm just glad we saw Jerry Jeudy finally produce and look absolutely awesome and healthy, man. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. You just got to stay healthy. I mean, if we're going to use Ike's argument, I mean, what if he gets hurt? I'm just kidding.
Next game, we got Arizona Cardinals at the Las Vegas Raiders. Ike, as a Kyler owner, I don't love it right now with him. Do you think he's a QB1 this week? And then is that where you have him in your rankings?
I do. I foolishly think this is going to be another high-scoring game. I mean, the Raiders defense.
It's not prime time.
Raiders defense is no Chiefs defense, which is saying something, which means the Raiders defense is worse, which I expect bigger things from Kyler. I could be wrong again, but I trust him enough to start him as a quarterback one.
Man, you think the Raiders defense isn't any good. Man, the Cardinals defense isn't any good.
Yeah, Cardinals true that. Defense is fucking awesome.
That's what I think. It should be high scoring, but I was wrong before, so.
They looked like the Cardinals just looked incompetent as a whole last week, man. It was just not a good thing to watch. Speaking of that, can we expect a little more from this offense in this week? Like, you kind of just went into it a little bit with Vegas being pretty bad defensively.
I just think it's going to be, like I said, Marquise Brown should be able to do better. I'm assuming Zach Ertz is playing, right, LaPlante?
Yes, he is playing.
Mm-hmm.
That should help out. Apparently, Greg Dortch comes out of nowhere and gets 9 targets, so he's somebody you could think about. So I just think this whole offense as a whole is going to be better.
It better be. If they're not in this game, I don't see them having.
Then you could start worrying for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Mike, jumping over to the Raiders now. Is the same thing I asked for Kyler. Is Derek Carr QB1 this week against this atrocious Arizona Cardinals defense?
We can see you really tried at the end of this Google sheet.
Eat me.
I'm thinking so. We can have Derek Carr as a QB1 this week. This Cardinals defense is so depleted right now. Devontae Adams is exactly who we thought he was, and so is Darren Waller. The Cardinals, you know, this is a nice little stat Keith dug up. The Cardinals blitzed against Mahomes 23 times, never sacked him once. The Chiefs blitzed the Cardinals 9 times, sacked Kyler 3. That's abysmal. I mean, this defense is not very good yet. J.J. Watt is still battling an injury coming back for this defense. I mean, it's not very good for Cardinals fans at the moment, unfortunately.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Stupid. But with the addition of Devontae Adams, you know, Darren Waller being healthy, we saw Hunter Renfrow, who was great last season, take a hit in the first week, man. Just not good. Can we trust him in the flex wide receiver 3 zone still, or are we just kind of moving on and just kind of pushing him towards the bench?
I mean, he still might get that wide receiver 3 flex value at the end of the year, but it's going to be like Mike Williams was last year. You're never going to know which week to play him. It's not going to be as consistent as it was last year. And, I mean, most of us saw this coming after the trade with Devontae. I mean, little nugget here. Devontae Adams led the entire league in target share last week with a 48% 6% target share. I mean, that will go down because it's obviously not sustainable. But, I mean, probably sending a little of those targets Renfro's way. But the days of Hunter Renfrow being the safest wide receiver two in the game are probably over.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Agreed. Ike, jumping over to Sunday Night Football, best rivalry in the NFL, Chicago Bears yes. at the Green Bay Packers. I know this one's near and dear to our heart.
What does Aaron Rodgers do?
He owns the Bears.
Thank you.
Ike, let's talk Bears backfield. Actually, before that, I just want to throw this nugget out there. This was per Adam Hogue going all the way back to 2001, I want to say, Dick Duran's first year. First-time head coaches for the Bears have beaten the Packers one time per season since 2001. So maybe the Bears upset the Packers this week. But, Ike, let's talk the Bears' backfield. We saw Montgomery get a whole shit ton of targets, but he got a shit ton of shit with those shit ton of touches.
Keith, I'm sorry.
Khalil Herbert.
I have to.
Khalil Herbert made the most out of all his touches. Ike, what do you think of this backfield for this week and moving forward?
For this week, this is probably the safest you should feel playing Dave Montgomery. He absolutely destroys against the Packers for some reason. 22, his past 3.
Because he's good at football.
I wouldn't go that far. Since I'm saying Dave Montgomery is probably going to be the guy this week, I'd probably not lean towards Khalil Herbert in like any league, even like deep leagues. I feel like he's gonna get like only a few carries here and there. I think it's Montgomery's game. They're gonna want to show him off.
Yeah, I agree. And then staying
are on we the getting Bears another bet? Are we getting another bet here for a shot?
Shot bet?
No, he just agreed with me for Montgomery, so we can't.
Ah, damn it! We're gonna have to find another one.
Like, can we expect a bounce back from Mooney and Kmet after playing in those conditions last week?
Oh, you give him the benefit of the doubt, but not Trey Lance. Go on.
I honestly think no, because Jair has a possibility of being on Mooney. I could be wrong. They might put Stokes on them. And with this pass rush the Packers have, they could have Kmet block a little bit more than we like to see. So honestly, they both might be fades for me, honestly. Cole Kmet, especially.
Did you guys see Mooney and Jair going at it a little bit on Twitter?
That's just great.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Jair got asked about what he's going to do to Mooney or something along those lines, and he said he's going to shut his ass down. And then Moody just kind of clapped back at him and said that Jair said the same thing last week or before That's last true. Week's game. And then Justin Jefferson went completely bananas. But Darnell Mooney's not Justin Jefferson.
True that.
But I'm digging the little the chirping at each other. Right that there. Means the rivalry is alive and well. So that's good news. And like I said, that's near and dear to our hearts. Mike, you're a Packer fan, so I gave you the Packer questions. Aaron Rodgers, QB1 this week, since this is the team he owns.
It's the team he owns, man. Alan Lazard is projected to be back here. I see, you know, it's just what the Packers do. They take week one off. I don't know why. I mean, it's not a good thing. You never want to just give in a week. But yes, I do like it. The Bears defense was good last week, again, in a monsoon. But This is Aaron Rodgers. He owns the Bears. I mean, I'm just hoping, you know, man, we got to get a receiver to step up because otherwise he's not going to be a QB1, you know, at the end of this year. Because if it's Alan Lazard, and even if he fails, because we're all projecting him, it is not going to be Aaron Rodgers very good for the rest of the year running. And I it's probably going to be one of those years where we see Derek Carr outscore Aaron Rodgers maybe.
And their offensive line's got to get healthy, dog. Like, they were without both tackles last week.
Both, again, questionable.
Yeah, they might be gone this week, too. It's just not good. If the Bears can get pressure on Rodgers with four rushers, they might have a chance, man.
It's possible, especially with the injuries. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, you kind of touched on the pass catchers already. But if you had to choose one, Mike, which one would you go with?
Alan Lazard, I know he's coming off the injury, but this is the guy that has the most chemistry built with Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers gives Christian Watson another shot. Nope. But
not happening.
Probably not. But it's Alan Lazard. Hands down.
Yep. And on over to Monday Night Football. Doubleheader, guys. First game we got here, Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills. Ike. Let's talk pass catchers in this Tennessee Titans offense. And I guess Kyle Phillips, and there's probably people listening right now being like, who that?
Do we have to talk about these guys? I mean, they're playing the Bills, and I think they're going to get their ass handed to them. Robert Woods looks washed. Treylon Burks can maybe get on the field for, what was it, 30, 35% of the time. So he's not worth playing or maybe even rostering right now. And Kyle Phillips led the team in targets, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. He looks fine, but you're going to have to wait and see to even think about picking him up.
Right, man. He's the slot receiver in the offense, and I feel like Tennessee doesn't run a lot of three wide receiver sets because they're always running with Derrick Henry. That's why it was weird to me to see Kyle Phillips lead the offensive targets.
I don't like any of them. I was kind of
just give me Derrick Henry. Just give me Derrick Henry.
Agreed.
Hold out hope for talent for Robert Woods, I guess.
Nothing really.
I mean, Treylon Burks showed some flashes, That's it. It's just flashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing really else to talk about this Tennessee offense. So let's just jump over to the Bills, Mike. It was interesting to see the rushing attack for the Bills last Thursday. We saw Singletary do some cool stuff. We saw Zach Moss do some cool stuff. And we saw James Cook put the ball on the ground where he just looked like he flat out just let it fall out of his grasp. What do you think about Singletary and Moss moving forward, fantasy purposes?
Man, I mean, just a teensy bit worried just of how the usage is going here, because I do think, you know, Cook is going to get another shot here. But we all thought Singletary, you know, was the pass catching guy in this offense because we know they're not going to run very much. But actually, it was Zach Moss getting six targets compared to Singletary. Put
them out wide, man.
Yeah, lining them out wide and shit.
So I think it may have just been game script for the Rams. I mean, against the Rams, not for the Rams. But that is my most concerning thing, is the targets for Singletary were lacking. But making that makes Zach Moss unfortunately playable again if he continues with this workload.
Sure.
I'm not happy saying it.
Yeah, it's definitely not sexy. It's not great to hear, but it is what it is. Now let's talk about the the borderline pass catchers here, if you will. McKenzie and Dawson Knox, can you put them in your starting lineups this week, or are you just kind of trying to shy away?
Man, I like McKenzie. He was, you know, definitely targeted more than Dawson Knox, but I just, again, I think it was game script against the Rams. The Rams, I had Bobby Wagner. They got some good linebackers in there. When you have good linebackers, it's a tough game for the tight ends. You're not always going to get the majority of the targets. We saw Travis Kelce against Derwin James, and he wasn't even a linebacker, but that was a WWE move.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yeah, so when you got a good linebacking core, tight ends seem to struggle a little bit more. So I lean McKenzie more this week, but Dawson Knox will have his games. It's just going to be tough choosing the ones because he is all touchdown dependent.
Yeah. I don't want Knox, man. I can't deal with it. You're strictly banking on him catching a touchdown and that's it. He saw two targets last week, guys. It's not there. I get it. You want a piece of the Bills offense, but it's, Dawson Knox isn't that piece that you want.
I mean, he was on the field for 51% of the snaps, but it seems like, again, game script could have been because he was blocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just wanted to use him more as an inline blocker. So
I'm out, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I'm out too. And I'm like I said, McKenzie Moore, you probably could have, you know, Dawson Knox hit a couple weeks down the line, but I'm also out.
For sure. And then the second game of this Monday night doubleheader in our last game, Minnesota Vikings at the Philadelphia Eagles. Can we start Kirk Cousins this week against this tough Eagles secondary, man?
I actually have him as quarterback 9. Goff didn't play bad against him. He did throw a pick, but he also threw 2 touchdowns for only 215 yards. Kirk's better than Goff. We all know that. He has Justin Jefferson.
Not in prime time, baby.
Yeah, so honestly, I like Kirk enough that you can start in quarterback 1 for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then let's talk his pass catcher. He's had the longest in Adam Thielen. Not good last week, guys. Not good.
Same amount of targets as Osborne.
Is Osborne better now? Because I think Adam Thielen.
Are we seeing a
32 years old?
So he's 32 year olds, man.
Yeah, it's.
I would be a little bit worried for Thielen for sure. I mean, he saw 0 red zone targets,
and that's his thing.
So I mean, even KJ Osborne saw.
What does he catch, Dylan?
The only thing he does is catch touchdowns, man.
Not that.
And he's not even getting targeted. So
yeah, it's not good.
Risky business.
Risky business for sure. LaPlante going over to the Philadelphia Eagles now. This fucking backfield though. They're all just, you get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown.
They went in the red zone against
what
the Lions, by the way.
Do we do?
My God, that is so fucking miserable. I mean, obviously, it's Miles Sanders is the lead of this shit-ass committee. But Kirk,
technically.
Like, I mean, he's not a running back. We're talking running backs and back here.
15 for 90.
But Miles Sanders did see a majority of the snaps, and you got to be on the field to get the points. It's just – this fucking backfield sucks, guys. I mean, it's going to be entirely matchup dependent, and that's why we got 4 rushing touchdowns against the Lions this week. I mean, you know, start any running back against the Lions, guys. That's what we learned. But don't start any running back from the Eagles.
And then our last question here for the night, Mike, is Devonta Smith droppable after his goose egg last week?
Not droppable, no. That's overreacting. Benchable? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, he's not in your starting lineup anymore until he shows you he can do anything.
But this is the thing. He did show you last year he could. This was a coming out party for AJ Brown, clearly. Mm-hmm. And they are the guys, but to completely say, you know, he's droppable, no, because we've seen AJ Brown. AJ Brown, I mean, again, hasn't finished a full season. So I mean, if he is out, it's gonna be Devontae Smith sliding right into that role.
Yeah. This is true, man. And I agree with you. Not droppable yet, but he is somebody to monitor the next few weeks. But, yeah, that wraps it up, guys. I had a blast tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did too, especially when you sounded like you were fast forwarding.
But yeah, I'll take us out then. Please like and subscribe to Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. Please follow us on Twitter. Please go over to fantasysixpack.net/plans. Like I said, check out the Discord, check out our DFS tool. It's a whole bunch of cool shit over there, guys.
Come hang out with us.
Yep. And then on Sunday from 11:30 to 12:30 Eastern time, you can find us doing the Sunday social podcast, Start Sit Show, guys. Come check that out. And then halftime of the Sunday night game, LaPlante and I actually do the Last Call podcast where we do a quick recap of all the games as well. But yeah, that pretty much does it. We'll be here next Friday for our week 3 game previews. Good luck to everybody in your matchups this week. And for Mike LaPlante, Ike Bonney, I'm Dylan Clemens. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you later.
Smash your week.